the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's the accuser of a brethren. So while I was busy preparing for this preach, I was not 100% sure I heard God on identity, and then Shanae actually came the one Sunday, and she said, you know what? I feel God is saying that the enemy is stealing our identity. And then I was like, yay. Thanks, Shanae. Thank you, God. I'm still on track here. So he's been doing it from the very beginning. Like from in the garden, I almost said of Eve. No, in the garden, he already started and he said, did God really say? I mean, there he was already trying to tamper with God's identity, trying to make God a liar. And he also said, if you take this like a piece of fruit, you'll become like God. But that again was a lie of our identity. I mean, we were already created in God's image. So it goes further than that. So because we're going overseas, we started to upload some of our photos to Instagram. So Instagram is quite a nice medium to go and look at other photos and stuff, but it's scary how quickly it sucks you in. Not yet, sorry. So all of a sudden you can put that one up. So all of a sudden I completely forgot about Saki, but he's off it. So all of a sudden you get people from all over the world liking your photos, and it does something to you. You get a bit of a sense of, woo, what was that me? And then you start getting followers. And sometimes it's like a photographer with 5,000 followers, and you're like, wow, he likes my photo. And the thing starts influencing you. And before you know it, before you post, you're like, ooh, will they like this photo? How many likes will I get? Will I lose some followers? And you start to look how the people you follow, how do they do it? How do they get likes? How do they get more followers? And slowly but surely, this thing just goes worse and worse and worse to the point where if you're not careful, you're not yourself anymore. You can put up the next. And that's a graffiti I saw, which just summarizes it so nice. Like this amazing media, this social media we can use, if you're not careful, you can kill yourself trying to just be there for the people and trying to, you sort of lose your own identity in order to get all the likes you need. But the bad thing about this is, most people don't show their bad times. Like that guy just traveling the world the whole time. You don't see him sleeping on an airport on the ground. You don't see him sick after he had some new food in Thailand. You don't see him fighting with his girlfriend. You don't see those things. You just see all the good. And the bad thing with this is we never see the true identity and you don't show the true you. But baby, you are not as superficial as that. So one thing I hated when maybe hate is a bit of a strong word, I strongly disliked it when I just got saved and people would run to me and go like, hey, so who can't you wait to meet in heaven? Not Jesus, someone else. And I would always go, why? Why would I want to meet other people? I want to meet Jesus and maybe ride on a dinosaur or two, you know? Why would I really know? Why will I want again? But over the extroverts, introverts, there we go. But over the years, I've seen you can learn so much. You can learn a lot from guys in the Bible. So if I look, for instance, at David, I see this amazing guy, and I see someone who God said he's a man after my own heart. But if we're not careful, and if we just look at that one piece of information, we don't see his full identity. We don't see the bigger picture. We don't see how he saw God and found out his identity there. So, yes, David, I started following him on Instagram, and there's some cool photos. There's one of him, shepherd boy, killing a bear. That's pretty cool. Like, there's one of him seeing a giant, slaying the giant, or killing a lion. I mean, that's cool stuff. Double like if you get like double. But all of a sudden, I see a post of a guy's going out of war, and David's Instagram photo is him just chilling on a throne. And I'm like, seriously, dude, you're supposed to be at war. What's happening here? Next minute, he's posting a photo of a woman, which he should not be posting. And I'm like, David, who are you looking at? And the next minute, I read about how he got another girl pregnant, and then he killed her husband. And all of a sudden, this turmoil starts inside of me, like, do I unfollow him now? Do I not like him all of a sudden? And how do I get that to what God says of, he's a man after my own heart? And it's a difficult struggle, but it's a good struggle. See, in the Bible, God also shows the flaws. He shows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if we're willing to wrestle through those things, we see how people found their identity in him, in God. Because as you get to know God's identity, you can find your identity. And we see how David in Psalms, he's very quick to humble himself. He's very quick to go, God, you are huge, I'm not. He's very quick to go, God, your love is steadfast. You are faithful. Look at all the amazing stuff you've done. And I can just imagine how he's on the floor crying about his kid he's lost. And he's thinking about all these things of God. And because he can see God's identity, he can pick himself up. And he finds his identity in God. And we see it with all the guys we want to meet in heaven, you know? We see it with Paul, Moses, Peter, all those guys. But it gives me hope to see how even in their flaws, they found tools to find their identity. But sometimes it might not even be that for you. Maybe you had parents who would always compare you to your brother or your sister. And in doing that, it hurts your identity. Or maybe you had a teacher who said you'll never amount to anything. Or maybe it was kids at school calling you names, Moffy, Sissy, whatever. Those were some of the names I heard. And your identity gets scarred. But maybe it's not even other people, maybe it's yourself. I remember as a young guy, unsaved, stoned, looking at myself in a mirror, and I just looked at myself and I went, you are so messed up. See, I saw an Instagram photo of myself in that mirror, and because I haven't learned how David dealt with his failures, how he has found his identity in Christ, I looked at that and I built my identity around that. And the Bible says sin gives birth to sin, gives birth to death. And if you just build that way, you become so insecure. And God wants to use that so that we would run to him. So that we would find peace in Jesus. But often we do the opposite. Often we rather run and try and find stuff. Or stuff we do, even ministry. And like money, sometimes we seek money. But none of these things will bring peace. I still have a bit of a sniffles after flu. Sorry about that. So, you guys, some of you might be very surprised, but north of Wellington, there are more cities. Okay. So, I studied in Pretoria, which is quite far north. And then there's Johannesburg, which is a little bit south. But in the middle of that, there's Midrand. So I used to work in Midrand, and the traffic is terrible. Back then, it was easily 2 hours just to drive Pretoria to Joburg. So I'm really glad I only had to drive halfway. I'm sure by now it's worse. But have any of you ever seen that image of a guy standing in a queue in front of a cashier about to pay? And the next minute, that queue goes faster. As he walks to that queue, two guys jump in front of him, and now he's a bit further behind. And now he sees, there's another cash register going fast, and as he runs there, it closes down. And now he has to go back to his old one, and it's just further behind. So that's how it feels driving on the N1 between Pretoria and Johannesburg. So I remember often I would sit there and compare myself to the other cars. So I would have, there's a red car, he's one behind me. There's a green car, he's two behind me, I'm doing well. Next minute, red car will go two in front of me, I'm like, no! And it would go to that lane, and then this lane slows down. And I seen green car as moon four in front of me. So I go to green car's lane, and next minute, my lane starts moving faster, and I'm just like, can't beat this thing. So I remember the one day, just sitting, staring out of a window, looking at the lines go past me on the highway. And I felt, sounds very depressing, eh? Anyways, maybe it was. So I remember it felt like God was speaking to me. And I felt he said, don't compare yourself to the other cars. Just look at the lines. And as long as they're moving, you are moving forward. And later I felt like God was using that to teach me spiritual stuff. Like, don't compare yourself to other people. Even in the kingdom, don't compare yourself. Just look at the highway, the road to him. And as long as you're moving forward, you are okay. See, it's easy for us to go, yes, there is a bigger body. And like Leonard spoke on the gifts and stuff last week. But I'm only the nose hair, you know? Like, what am I worth? But God says that part you think which is the least is actually so important. Or maybe you think like, what do I have to bring? But the Bible says each one of us has something to bring. It also says that God knit us together in our mother's womb. That's intimate. He knows you so intimately. And I think this morning someone said something along that those lines. So God wants you to bring all of you, your emotions, your talents, your failures, your feelings, your struggles, all of that. He knit you together. He wants to make you whole again. So where do you find your identity? Do you maybe find it in the stuff you do? Do you maybe even find it in ministry? It happens very easy. It's all holy. Find it in ministry. Do you maybe find it in your position at your job? You're a CEO, or maybe you are a caring mother. Maybe you find it in your sexuality. Maybe you find it in, I'm an accountant, or my achievements. I've been Springbok rugby player, whatever. Maybe you find it in the good stuff you've done. I've been really a good boy. I've never messed up here or there. Or maybe you find it in the bad stuff, like I used to look at myself in a mirror. See, all of those stuff are horizontally. You're trying to find your identity in this world. And you'll never find your identity that way. Best case, you'll set up a goal, you'll meet that goal, you'll feel prideful for a while, and then you'll realize it's very empty. Many Hollywood stars have confessed to this. Many songwriters try and commit suicide after they reach the height. Or you set this goal, and you fail, and you just become so shameful. None of that's going to help. The only way you'll find it is vertical, to find it in what he has done for us. So let's go back. Very beginning, God creates us in his image. Obviously, in order for us to reflect something of his identity. Also, he made us to rule and to reign. But then something happened here in the middle. There was a tree. There were people involved. There was a snakey. And people took the fruit, and this whole thing got messed up. And if you're honest, if you look at ruling, do you rule over the lust of your flesh, over the lust of your eyes, over pride of life? The stuff Kala spoke about a few weeks ago. Do you rule over your emotions, over your feelings, the internal stuff, the external stuff, all of those things? And do you see that happening in the world? If you think about reigning, are we really looking after orphans, widows, the poor, all of those things? And then if we go to the image side, do we really reflect God's image? I don't think so. I think if we look at the world, we reflect more the beast than we reflect God. So LaSalle spoke about that friend of hers, well, maybe not a friend, just the guy who lived in the same house. And although he was legally able to go to London, because his identity has been distorted either through the enemy, through family, through friends, in this case, a very bad joke, maybe, I don't know. Because it was so distorted, he couldn't enter in, even though he paid. And passport control marked him and he said, there's no way you're coming back to London. And that is the case for all of humanity. That is the case for each individual. We've been stamped. Our identity has been distorted. And there's nothing we can do to enter into more. So I started following this amazing guy. and he posts amazing things, and there's so many likes. There's lots of comments, dislikes, haters will be haters. But if you look at the type of people who follows him, it's authentic people. You can really see there's more to this. And he cares. Man, he cares. He looks after kids who don't have parents. He looks after old ladies who can't quite get over the street, maybe. He looks after poor people. And what I like about him is he doesn't just post these things about himself because he wants to look good. You can see that he really loves God and he really loves people. And if I look at him, I think that's how it was supposed to be. That was how it was intended from the very beginning. He portrays this amazing image to me. And when I look at how he rules over lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, internal, external, beauty, ugly, light, dark, everything. He rules over everything, and he reigns with meekness, with humbleness, boldness, and lots of love. And I can see when I look at him that he really just tries to hear what God wants, and then he does that. And the amazing thing is this person wants to give his account to all of us. And all we have to do is admit that our account is in a mess and that we need his account. So, obviously, this person, Jesus, he lived this amazing life. And he said once to one of his disciples, if you see me, you see the Father. Isn't that insane? Like we said, like in the very beginning, he created us after his image. So Jesus was actually living out that thing. Like God made us in his image, and yes, Jesus living out the image of the Father. That's so beautiful. And Paul later also said that he said, if you see the Son, you've seen the image of the invisible God. So as I look at Jesus, I realize I can also do this. I can also rule over sin. But I first have to humble myself, like David did, admit to God I'm not holy, admit to God I've messed up my identity, and then take what he did on that cross for myself, make it my own. And then he says, as we do that, we become new, and we can rule over all the darkness. And then he does an amazing thing. He goes away. Isn't that mind-blowing? So he does this amazing thing and he leaves and he says, it's better for you because now you have my Holy Spirit. So what I like about this whole thing is as I look at Jesus, I see and I get to know that I can overcome sin. I can live a new life. And then I can try and start and live this life. And as I see that I can't, I ask God for grace, and God gives us the grace to do it, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to do it. See, what we see Jesus did, he said he will enable us to live that and more. So often as Christians, we put up our hands, we accept Jesus, and we think it's something for the future. Heaven is coming. Yay, hallelujah. But it's now. It's a down payment. Like Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is a down payment, and he will help us now to live out this life. So in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we can live this life and show other people the image of God. And in that, we get joy and peace and love and God's strength. So if you can put up the next slide. So it says there that we need to put off something and put on something. So put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And this morning there was some discussion here, prophetic words about people still holding on to stuff. And I think often it's that first part where we still hold on to the former things. We still hold on to things we think that can actually make me feel good. But we need to put that off in order to put on the new, to put on the likeness of God, to reflect God's image as we should. So we see in the very beginning, God created everything and he made everything perfect. His works were perfect. His words were perfect. Everything was perfect. But then came Adam and Eve, bit that fruit, and the whole thing was a mess. So now again we see Jesus. He did the perfect work. He spoke the perfect words. So don't try and add to that. There's nothing we can add to that. He did it perfectly already. So I started off by saying that we are booking a trip and we've paid for some flights and we've paid for some accommodation, but there's no way we can enter in there if we don't show proof of identity. The same way, Jesus has already paid for us to go into a new life, heaven as well, but there's a life for us to live now, to live out our identity now. But there's no way you'll be able to walk in that if you don't put off your old and put on the new. Because the Bible says, then we have been clothed with Christ. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, you have become a new creation. All things have passed away. That's the stuff you put away. You've become brand new. And sure, with that, we will start to walk out gifts, like Leonard spoke about, and we'll have fruit, but never try and find your identity in those things. I think often as Christians, we can go, but I don't see this happen, or if I pray, someone gets sicker, or whatever, you know? But never try and find your identity in those things. Your identity is purely in Christ. It is a gift from God. That is the heart of Christianity. So they often say that married couples start looking like one another. There's hope, Leonard. So when they've been married for a long time, and sometimes they say they start to talk the same, or even friendships, you can see similar mannerisms, or like the cell and the sister always laughs at the same time, same way. So you rub off on one another, right? And it says in Psalms that you must be careful who you spend time with. Psalm 1 says, don't walk with certain people. Don't stand and chat with certain people. Don't sit with certain people. But also in Colossians 3, it says how we must think about these amazing things above. See, at God's feet, we will really get to see who He is and really get to see who we are. There's a beautiful verse that says, in your light, I see light. Isn't that incredible? I always thought if you see light, that's it. But in God's light, we can actually see the true light. Psalms also says that you are a lamp unto my feet. So that for me speaks of little small day-to-day steps we get to see. Maybe we don't see the bigger picture. Maybe you still feel a bit confused. But those day-to-day steps you find by spending time with Him. But it also says you are a light unto my path. So God will show you the bigger picture at times when you need it. But never treat the Bible as a self-help book. It's a place where you find God, you find His identity, and in that only you'll find your identity. So maybe you could put up the next one. So I really had to trim these verses down. So please go and read it in context, because this is purely to get to the heart of what I'm trying to say. But it's just so amazing for me how in one chapter in Ephesians, it speaks so much of identity. There's so much for us to see here. It says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. For me, that's quite a bit. If you think all spiritual blessings, not just one or two, all of them, okay? And this morning, there were lots of guys saying that sometimes you feel God is not there for you, He's not giving you. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. So try and find out where that thing is which is keeping you from receiving from God and work on that. But God has already given all spiritual blessings. He chose you. It's not like He was walking down the road, He saw you and He's like, fine, come with me. No, there's a whole different heart here. He's like, I choose you to come with me. That's insane. It's like Jesus picking His disciples. That's for me, it's a beautiful. He made you holy and blameless. I still sometimes struggle with this, to think God made me holy and blameless. How does that work? And yet in my life, I can see He is doing that. He has predestined us, something I also don't often grasp. But adoption, So before me and LaSalle had Levi and Sadie, we couldn't fall pregnant. So we started the whole path of going for adoption papers, did some psych tests. I think we're okay because they put us through to the next test. And then you have to choose what type of kid you would like. It feels like a catalog. Anyways, but in that whole process, what I learned is it's a beautiful thing to think that you choose to take someone else into your family. It's not like you have to. It's like, I so want to take someone into my family. And that's what God did. He adopted us. Then he redeems us by putting off of our old self and forgiving us. And then this part is cool. It says his grace, which he has lavished upon us. So what I've seen is, as I see Jesus and I get to know, hey, because of his identity, I can now start walking this out. I need a lot of grace to do it. A lot. But grace, so there's two sides to grace. The one side is if you don't get what you do deserve. So say Levi and Sadie broke our car, painted on our roof, whatever they do. If I go there, I'm like, you deserve to whatever, X, Y, and Z. I'm withholding that from you. I'm putting it on someone else. That's grace, okay? The other side of grace is to empower you to be able to do something. And that's beautiful. So God gives us, he lavishes it on us. And he makes known to us the mysteries. So Jesus speaks about that. And he says, you are no longer slaves. You are now my friends. So say I just work for Leonard. And he just says, hey, go and buy this or go and buy that. Then I'm just his slave. I just do stuff. But as we become friends, he's like, you know what happened yesterday? And you start to get to know his heart. And that's what's happening here. As you spend time with God, you really go and sit by his feet. He will start to tell you stuff, even intimate stuff about yourself. There's an inheritance. So if I look at Jesus, I'm like, sure thing, Jesus, you deserve to have an inheritance, but I don't. But there it says, I will also have an inheritance. That's beautiful. And then lastly there, it says, you've been sealed with a promise of the Holy Spirit. So it's almost like when a guy and a girl, where are the people who got engaged? Were there rings involved, John? Juan, yeah? Monica, yeah? So, Monique. I'm bad at this, okay? I'm bad at names. Sorry about that. So they'll edit it out. So there's a ring involved, okay? And that's like a down payment. That's like a proof. That's like a seal that I really like you big time and I really want to marry you. It's not just like you, girl. I'll like you on Facebook. It's an actual ring. There's money involved as well, okay? So the Holy Spirit is our engagement ring for Jesus who's coming back to us. So maybe the musicians can come out so long, the worship team. See, the result of finding your identity in God, it's manifold, manifold. Anyways, there's lots to it. But the one thing is you get to a place where you just want to glorify God. You get to a place where you stop fearing all these other things you thought you had to build towards, and you stop comparing yourself to other people. And even though you know there will be suffering, because there will be suffering, Jesus promised it to us, we know that it will have eternal value. So you will never find your identity in yourself. It is purely a gift from the Father. And even that gift is not for us so that we can just feel new and feel good about ourselves. It's so that we can point other people to the image of the Father. So maybe we can all close our eyes. So as I was speaking this morning, I was mentioning about putting off the old, putting on the new. And sometimes you might not know that you have to put off the old and put on the new. I think often people look at Jesus and they think, yeah, he's cool. I want a part of him. But you need to put off your old life. God makes it very clear that you need to become born again. So that means you pretty much have to die to your old self and start living in Jesus. The Bible is very clear about our own lives. If you just build horizontally to the stuff you do, the people you know, the stuff you have, the money, all those things, it says that you will ultimately die and you will be away from God and you will be in hell. However, God made a way. He sent Jesus to be that perfect person to follow, who ruled the perfect way. He ruled over sin. He reigned in love, humbleness, meekness. And he did all of that just to restore you to the place where you should be with the Father, so that you can one day go to heaven and even now get to know God the Father. So if you are here this morning, I really would love to pray with you to get to know Jesus. So if that is you, all eyes are closed. If you can just indicate with putting up your hand, I would love to just see your hand. So as a young guy, I used to go to church. I used to know the whole Bible and Jesus vibes. But I was completely lost. I built my own identity. And only when I was about 21, I got to know Jesus. And I could finally let go of my old and take on the new. Are there any of you this morning would love that? If you are sitting there struggling with this thing, I would really ask you to come and speak to myself or Leonard afterwards so that we can help you to see and find Jesus. So maybe all of us can stand up. You can open up your eyes. So then I think most of us already have identified with Jesus. And part of that was he said that we have communion in remembrance of him. So communion is almost like identifying with what Jesus came to do for us. It's looking at the bread and going, he broke his body for everything I did wrong. To look at the blood and go, with his blood he paid the cost. So what we want to do this morning is I want to encourage you to, at your time when you feel right, come and have your communion, but then also go into groups of 5 or 6. And then in those groups, ask people to pray with you for where your identity has been distorted. Maybe it's been through the enemy, family, other people, yourself, or maybe it's because you've compared yourself to other Christians even. So pray into that. Also pray into, sometimes we hold onto something so dearly that we try and find our identity in that thing. And if God was to take that away, you'll know that you've been holding onto something except for Jesus. So also pray into those things. And then lastly, with all those verses which I had up there, if you can't identify with that, if you can't believe that God wants that for you, like this morning there was a word of people who don't believe God wants good things for them, let people pray with you and let's just get to see God. Let's get to see his identity and find your full identity in Christ.